is one of those gospels where you say, well, I hear this all the time, this five loaves, two fishes, and multiplication of the loaves and the fishes. And so the danger, it's a good thing that it's familiar. That's good. But the danger is that sometimes when things become familiar, we just kind of tune out and we sort of say, oh, yeah, that story. See? And so perhaps our work today is to maybe pick out a couple of salient points and let them register more deeply than that just, oh yeah, I recognize this gospel attitude. Now, I would title this homily formally, What are your five loaves and two fishes? But maybe I would title it informally, it's that it's easier to put on slippers than to carpet the whole world. And we'll see how that unfolds. Now, the first thing to look at in this gospel is there's an image that's put before us, an image. You notice it says that when Jesus went up that mountain, that he saw a great crowd coming toward him. And in today's world, especially in the Western world, we think more in the church of declining numbers, you know, and we're struggling with that. Yeah, there was a day back in the 40s and 50s when churches like this were filled seven times over on a Sunday morning, you know, and big crowds, not so much now. And we know we've got a lot of work to do. But you'll notice that Jesus just saw a great crowd coming toward him. And the danger for us is not just to say, well, the number of believers is dropping, because what the Lord is concerned about is not just who are believers and who aren't, but that they all have a hunger. They have a hunger. They have a hunger, first of all, for truth, for goodness, for beauty. And they also have a hunger for ordinary food. And that's the way it is in this world today. Whether a person is a believer, whether they're an atheist, whether they are Catholic or non-Catholic or just sort of vaguely religious or spiritual, every one of us has something very deep in common. It's so deep and it's so there that you hardly ever notice it. And yet it's motivating everything you do. And here it is, simply this, that we have an infinite longing. An infinite longing. A hunger in our heart for meaning, for truth, for goodness, for beauty. We have a hunger for the Lord. Because you see, an infinite longing cannot be given by a finite world. Nothing can give what it doesn't have. Only that which is infinite can bestow that which is infinite. And you do have an infinite longing. So do I. When were you ever really satisfied? If you were, it was for 10 minutes. Then you needed the upgrade. You needed a maintenance contract. You need whatever, you know. It's never whatever you get. I know, I'll fix my life. Bigger house, fancier car, new relationship, new job. And 10 minutes later, you're like, is that all there is? You have an infinite longing. Pay attention. And this crowd that comes to Jesus, whether they were believers or not, whether they were sinners or among the righteous, whatever, they all have one thing in common. They are longing for God. And even unbelievers, they may not admit it, but they have to accept they have an infinite longing that a finite world could not and did not give them, because God wrote his name in our hearts. And so this is an image for evangelization. We're always looking to that thing that we all have in common. We're so hungry. Our soul is sighing and yearning. Always. And even though maybe our mothers once told us you need to learn to be satisfied, that may be true in a worldly setting, but at the end of the day, don't you ever be satisfied with anything less than God. That crowd comes to Jesus that day. And that's what he really knows they're hungry for. So we have there first, we had this in this gospel, as this crowd approaches. It was a great crowd. It was time for the people to go down to Jerusalem for Passover. And on the way, great crowds were accumulating, and Jesus along the way would preach to them. Now then, we see, though, we go into the heart of the gospel that we're most familiar with. And this hungry, thirsty crowd that longing for the infinite, the very face of God, hears that Jesus is nearby, and they come to listen. And at the end of the great sermon that the Lord preached that day, he said then to Philip, in order to test him, where can we buy food so that each of them, for each of them to eat? Now again, this was to test Philip. But I want you to listen very carefully to the question. Because you see, we move from an image that's of evangelization to an insufficiency that's expressed. Listen again to the question that Jesus asked. I'm going to say it one time just in an ordinary voice, and then I'm going to emphasize something. Where can we buy food, enough food for them to eat? Now let me say it again. Where can we buy food enough for them to eat? Don't miss those two little letters that make up the word we. See? The Lord is saying, we're in this thing together, you and I. We're all the body of Christ. Now, what that first of all means is that I don't have all the gifts, I don't have all the resources, and you don't have all the gifts and the resources, and really, even collectively, just at the human level, we don't have the resources. But with Jesus, now we've got a dog in the fight. So, we are the body of Christ, each of us members of the body, and Christ is the head of the body of the church. And he says to all of us, including himself, where will we get food to eat? Or where will we get food enough for these people to eat? Now, where will we do this? Now again, immediately, Philip just simply thinks of their own human resources. 200 days wages, we couldn't even get enough to give them a mouthful. Lord, we don't have the resources. This is crazy. So we all feel, as we look to the world today, overwhelmed. The problems are so enormous, even just in our own family. Now, I don't have any nuts falling out of my family tree, but some of you do. Now, we all do. Even in our own families, we can feel overwhelmed. You know, there's just the struggles, the thing. And then move beyond that to our churches, our communities, to the whole world. And we like, oh, what could we ever do? And we also look, I think, at least I do, and I think anyone who's really looking today cannot fail to be exasperated at the condition of the world and the condition of our culture. At so many levels, our families are being destroyed. At so many levels, the understanding of marriage and family and sexuality is distorted. We see also the toll that greed takes. We're trying to have too many things, and the pressure, financial and otherwise, that all of this stuff puts upon us, we're overwhelmed. And where do we even begin to fix such a broken down system where there's injustices and racism and divisions, where there's the confusion about sexuality and marriage and family? Where can we ever even begin? How can we do it? And we might be thinking but we're forgetting sometimes that the Lord is with us. Now, with all that in mind, Jesus still asks the question, well, what are we going to do about that? We feel individually and even collectively at times overwhelmed, insufficient resources. Lord, you're just going to have to handle it. Why don't you just send a lightning bolt down and just zap us, and we'll all be sane again. You know, just do some big thing, Lord. And the Lord said, well, but that's not how I usually work, says the Lord. Now, one of the things that is very important for us to understand about our dignity and our responsibility is that the Lord really wants to involve us in the solution. You know, when we're caring for the poor, it's wrong to just throw things and money at them. And, you know, we don't just give to the poor. We work with the poor. see, involving them in the solution. And I don't just mean the materially poor, those who are intellectually or spiritually poor, who need encouragement, who need instruction in the faith, who need, we don't just throw stuff at them. We work with them and listen to them. And this is how God is with us as well. I don't know if you've noticed, you've heard me say this many times, but God is not in a big hurry. We are. But God's not in a big hurry, and he doesn't solve every problem right away. And why is that? Well, he's trying to bring some of us on board with him to work on the problem together. And so we're in a world now where maybe the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, you know, that, well, I just know in our culture, hunger is not a big issue, you know. Maybe good nutrition, that's a different question. But there's other hungers. And there's other confusions and things that we face. That starvation of the truth that so often is common today. Now, what are we going to do about that, says the Lord? Now then, that leads us then to the fundamental way the Lord wants to handle this. There is this, if you will, immensity that will be experienced. They say, well, all we got are 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I mean, but what good is that? See, so, well, we do, you know, what do you have, says the Lord, see? Well, I got a little money, I got a little time, but what good is that in such a big problem? You know? And the Lord is, remember, he was trying to test Philip. Philip seems to be the focus here. And by the way, Philip's window is right over here. There's a basket. And remember that, again, Philip was sort of saying, man, this is impossible. We can't handle this. It's okay. And so at the end, Philip is told among with the others to go take a basket, and 12 wicker baskets come back filled with extra bread. Wow. So Philip's window there is the basket. You've got Nathaniel and Philip, and you've got James, and you've got Andrew. And so we have these things, these windows that remind us of the apostles. So Philip is exasperated, but he's only giving us, you know, or giving our voice. All right, now, Jesus says, all right, but give me what you do have, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Because we are going to address this issue. We are going to address it. Now, you know the scriptures, but I'm going to remind you of some of them. We say them all the time. But do we really mean them, and do we really believe them, or are they just slogans? Are they just slogans? So here's a few. This is one from Philippians. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Oh, how we can talk so nicely, right? Right? Or Mark 9, Jesus says, all things are possible for those who believe in God. Yes, we talk like this, right? Or again, Mark 10, for man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible, and so on. We have these beautiful statements from Scripture. We have them in our music. We sing like this. We talk like this. But at the end of the day, too quickly, it's hard for us to live that way. And to say, look, I'm going to find my 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and I'm going to go to work, and I'm going to work with the Lord. But the Lord does say, look, you do have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And I want you to bring them. So, that's the we. Jesus could solve everything by snapping his fingers. Have you noticed that God doesn't usually do it that way? Darn it. But wouldn't we be spoiled? And wouldn't we be uninvolved if we just expected God to solve everything with a snap of the fingers? You are parents, many of you. We've certainly all been children. You know that a parent can't do that and shouldn't do that. You should not solve every problem your kid has. Sometimes you got to let your kids make their own mistakes and suffer the consequences. Sometimes you got to let them realize that they've got to just do a little hard work, and you could solve the math problem for them, but you're going to stand there and say, no, I want you to learn how to solve it. You do have some resources. Now, if you really get stuck, I'll help you. All right, so God says, we're going to take care of this together. Bring me what you do have. And you know what he does? He multiplies the loaves and the fishes. And to an astonishing degree. But right now, that was then. What about now? What are your 5 loaves and 2 fishes? What are you bringing to the Lord? What am I bringing? What are we together bringing to the Lord? Well, I made a little list of some possibilities. These are just ideas so that you can pray and think about what are your 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Remember, we're looking at a culture that's really broken down. That's very few people are going to church anymore. All the things I listed earlier. And you can feel overwhelmed. So what are you going to do about it? I can't do anything about it. All I have are 5 loaves and 2 fishes. All right, bring them. What are they? Well, first of all, my 5 loaves and 2 fishes, as well as yours, I got to work, first of all, on my own conversion. A holier world has to start with me. If I get holier, the world will get holier too. So number one, I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to read scripture. I'm going to try to fill my mind with the thoughts of the Lord and grow holier, and I'm going to pray more. That's my 5 loaves and 2 fishes, starting there. All right, so again, I might need to, in my own family, there's trouble, so what can I do? Can I maybe pick up the phone and call a family member who's disaffected or hurt or angry? Maybe who needs encouragement? Or maybe even a little money or help? Can I do that? I'm not telling you have to do all these things. I'm just giving you examples. Or you may not be able to solve world poverty, but are there some poor that you know the Lord has assigned to you? Are there poor in your own family? Are there the poor at the workplace? Or who are the poor that you know? Who are they? And maybe the Lord has asked you to work with them especially. And remember, don't just think material poverty. Maybe you have a grandchild or a granddaughter who needs special instruction in the faith because mom or dad's a little down on the job. You're going to step in and fill the gap. I don't know, I'm just giving you ideas. What are your 5 loaves and 2 fishes? How about if you're married? I know this may sound obvious, but I'm going to say it anyway because sometimes it doesn't seem too obvious. If you're married, you can start by loving your spouse. It's not always easy. There's tension in marriages. Get on your knees and say, Lord, help me to have a tender love for my husband or wife. Lord, help me. And then they'll respond to my love, and I'll respond to her love or his love, and it'll begin to grow, you see? And all this divorce and breakup of families can be staved off. Or again, if you're a parent, you know, spend time with your children, raising them in the faith, read them Bible stories. It's more important than taking them to a soccer match. Read them Bible stories, pray with them, teach them, give them good example, raise them, as the Bible says, in the fear, that is to say, the reverence of God. Oh, what a beautiful gift to send children into the world who know the Lord. That's your 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I'm a priest. We have a religious sister here. We have obligations to try to live holy lives, to be faithful to our commitments that we made, to give our lives in sacrifice. My job is to preach, to teach. I also write. I'm out there on the internet. But whatever I think the Lord's given me to do, this is a vineyard, Charles. Work in it. Carlito, I need you there. I sometimes go before the Lord and say, yeah. And he says, don't get overwhelmed. Do what I've asked you to do. Stay in your vineyard. Find your lane, stay in it, and work there. So every Sunday I'm here with you, preaching, teaching. I'm on the internet. Any other activity, I get on radio interviews, wherever I can go to preach the gospel. Even if it means I have to get up earlier in the middle of the night to talk to somebody on the other side of the planet on their radio show. If it's a chance to preach the gospel, I'm going to try my very best to do it. So again, also by living a holy life and by praying for you and saying the prayers I'm required to pray, making a holy hour. If you're young, seek to prepare yourself devoutly for a vocation, whether as a married person or a priest or religious, but devoutly prepare.
Likewise, again, if you're older, manifest your wisdom, teach, share it. Give good example to the young. If you're very elderly, sometimes I go to the people in the nursing homes and in the hospital, and they're lying flat on their back, and I said, you've never been more powerful. St. Paul says, when I'm weak, that's when I'm really strong, because the power of Christ rests on me. Would you please pray for us? We need some help out here. And I get them praying, you know? Do you ever exhort those in your family who feel like, I can't contribute anything? Oh, yes, you can. Pray for this old hell-bound, sin-soaked world. Somebody say amen. Pray for it. Pray for all of us. And so it is that even flat on our back, with death months or weeks away, it's a powerful chance to pray and give a good example of devoutly preparing for death by praying, preparing to meet the Lord. Well, I could go on. But again, just the fact that you're here today, praying, attending Mass faithfully, 5 loaves, 2 fishes, it doesn't seem like much. What can I, one little person, do? Well, you're not alone. We're here together. And if we can influence others and other people influence, you know. My brother and sister-in-law have 9 children. They're all being homeschooled and raised up in the fear of the Lord. And they're going to send those kids out. And they're going to get married and have children. You see, it may seem overwhelming. There's a lot of work to do. And you can't do it alone, and I can't do it alone. And even we, the human part of the church, can't do it alone. But with Jesus, we got a dog in the fight. It's going to be all right, but only if we bring our 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Too many of us are waiting for the Lord to kind of go, shazam! And he can do that, but he shouldn't have to. He wants to involve us. So what are your 5 loaves? What are your 2 fishes? The Lord said, what are we going to do to find bread for these people to eat? What are we going to do? All right. So just work and pray and think about it. That's your homework for the weekend, or for the whole week. Come back next week with a better sense of what are your 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And stay faithful to that as long as the Lord tells you to. If he tells you to add something, add it. If he tells you to take something else away, take it away. But stay in your lane and do the 5 loaves and 2 fishes stuff that God asks you to do. The little things add up to a lot. So I finally return to the title. First of all, that question, what are your 5 loaves and 2 fishes? But the title basically just says it's easier to put on slippers than to carpet the whole of the earth. Sometimes that's all we can do, just take care of our part of the world, our family, our very self, our vineyard. Put on slippers, and rather than trying to think, oh, I've got to carpet the whole earth. No, you don't. That's above your pay grade. It's just another version, really, of an old song, though. I just have it on the best of authority that I think our choir is going to sing that today. This little light of mine. It's a little light. This little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. I got what I've got, in other words. And I'm going to let it shine. If you hold a candle and we all hold a candle, the room can get very bright. Bring your 5 loaves and your 2 fishes, y'all. And let's be with the Lord in giving this world, including our very selves, something to fill that infinite longing that's in all of our hearts, and help them to know that it's really Jesus they're looking for. Amen.